I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're so glad that you are here at First Baptist of Roswell. And if you're a guest of ours, we say welcome. We are glad you've chosen to worship with us here this Sunday morning. If you're a guest, we ask you to find the Connect card in the pew rack before you. You find it and then fill out the information that is requested and then place it in the offering plate later in the service so that we can contact you and tell you a little more about the church, about the different ministries and the different activities maybe that you have questions about. If you'll look in your worship bulletin, you will find an announcement sheet with a lot of activities that are happening today. I just want to call your attention to a few. First of all, happening today is Miss Mary's ice cream cranking from 2 to 4 out in the field. I encourage you to come and try some ice cream. You can help out and just be a part of the crowd that's out there. What a wonderful time. The funds that are raised for this event goes to our Drake House community, and what a great ministry within our church, or within our community that we support. Then also the listening sessions, you will find that they have been September the 10th through the 12th. You can sign up to participate on those listening sessions. Let me encourage you to do this. This is an opportunity for the church, opportunity for you to be a part of what's happening in our church. Wednesday night dinner activities kick off, and you know and can find at both doors the Wednesday night activities, which got pastors' Bible studies and the many Bible studies that are happening, stuff for the youth and for the children. Please take one of those as you leave, either out the front or out the back. You can find those even at the information desk. Wednesday night dinners, you can see the costs for those are also located in the announcement sheet. Let me encourage you to look at those. We always have a great group for our Wednesday nights, and you miss out if you don't show up. Now, let's join together as we worship together as a family of believers in Jesus Christ. Thank you.
In your order of worship this morning, you'll find printed in there our responsive reading. I invite you to stand. Join us if you're able. Let's offer these words to God together. I'll lead us in the light print if you'll respond with the bolded italicized text. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations.
I declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself.
Come, let us enter the land that God has prepared for us.
God leads the way and makes our footsteps sure.
Our days of wandering in the barren desert seem as though they are at an end.
Our goodness destination at home be yet another departure.
Could it be that we are called not to a place, but closer to God?
Could it be that God is our home and our journey is a testimony?
Remember, once you were no people, but now you are God's people.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
This morning. So I bet with this many of you that some of you like to collect rocks. So if you always seem to have a rock in your pocket, will you raise your hand? Anybody always seem to have a rock in the pocket? All right, I bet your parents have to remember to take those rocks out before they do the laundry, otherwise you end up with nice clean rocks, right? So rocks are really neat things because rocks are strong and rocks can stay where you put them. So not everything can do that. If you have sand, that sand is going to shift, but a rock will not. So a long time ago, they used to build houses on top of rocks to keep those houses safe. Now we have cement and concrete that we use for a strong foundation, but back then they would use rocks. So, but sometimes rocks can get you into trouble too, because if you've ever thrown a rock and it hit somebody or something and broke it, you can get in a lot of trouble for that. But rocks are very important because they are strong and they can protect us. There's lots of great uses for rocks. Well, in our scripture today, in just a moment, we are going to hear about Peter. Now, Peter was a pretty impulsive guy. Peter did whatever he thought without stopping to think, is this a good idea? And sometimes that got Peter in trouble, but it also meant that Peter got to do some amazing things. So when Jesus came to Peter and he said, follow me, Peter immediately dropped his fishing nets and he followed Jesus. When Jesus told Peter to get out of the boat and to meet him in the water, Peter got out of the boat and started walking across that water. Now, when Peter looked down and realized what he was doing, he got afraid and started to sink. But Jesus was right there with him. And Peter also became the rock on which Jesus built the church. So when Jesus was asking the disciples, who does everybody say that I am? And then who do you say that I am? Peter was the one that said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so Peter had been going by the name Simon, but Jesus said, now you are going to be Peter, because the name Peter means rock, and it is on this rock that I will build my church. And Peter was one of the first to share the good news of God's great love with everybody. And Peter helped create the early church. And so now, more than 2,000 years later, we are all sitting here because Peter wasn't afraid to share the news of God's great love and what Jesus had done. So Peter was also known as the rock. So if you think about rocks, whenever you see a rock, I want you to think about Peter and think about the church. The church is built on a strong foundation that has lasted for thousands of years, and the church will continue because that foundation is God's love. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for helping Peter share the news of your great love. Thank you for giving him courage to tell others about you. Help us to have courage to share the news of your great love with others as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 18. I'll be reading from the NIV. And it says this, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's my privilege this morning to lead us in our collective prayer as the congregation here at First Baptist Roswell. We pray this morning for the family of Troy Smith and his death this past week. We pray for Brad and the extended family. Will you join me as we pray together? Our Father, I'm grateful today for The reminder, as I look out among the congregation and I visualize the people who are joining us virtually today, of the many paths of faith and wandering. We come from all parts of the world, different journeys, different experiences with family and faith. In the uniqueness of your providence, we have gathered today as one people with one voice to collectively worship you. I pray this morning for the Church Universal, for people of faith around the world who are proclaiming the hope and faith in Christ today. And more specifically, oh God, I pray specifically for the people of faith here in this great congregation. And as I think about prayer for us as we wander together, I'm reminded of the great prayer by Niebuhr, who asked that you would help him to accept the things he cannot change and the God-given courage to change the things he can. I'm praying today for their listening sessions, that people will sign up and give voice, their unique voice, to their experience. I pray for the reminder to speak the truth in love. I pray for a unified voice as we come many different parts, from many different experiences and many different perspectives as we unite week by week to lift high the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, I'm thankful today for the reminder of your presence with us, that as we wander, you wander with us. You walk alongside of us, and we give you thanks. We worship you. We give you thanks today, and we do thank you for the good things that are going on in this place, and we love you, and we thank you today. I pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the very Spirit, the very breath of God himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the firm foundation that you have given us, a foundation of faith, a foundation of this church built on your grace and love. Lord, we humbly ask that you take these tithes and offerings we bring to you today, bless them and multiply them. Guide us with the right wisdom and discernment to use them to further your kingdom. Lord, as we continue on in this journey of Roswell First Baptist Church, may we be marked by your fingerprints at every turn. It's all these things I pray in your glorious and wonderful name. Amen.
People said. What a great, you know, every week I've been here, I've thoroughly been blessed by the worship service, but particularly this morning, this is one of those times where I get up and think, well, y'all already heard the sermon. Let's just have the invitation and go home. But then that would be worth a loss of my drive here. And I want you to have your money's worth here. So I still got more to say. I particularly appreciated the responsive reading section. David, did you write that? That was an amazing responsive reading section. Thank you very much for bringing those texts of Scripture together and beautifully encapsulate where we have been in the last few weeks and how we're going to kind of conclude this series together. So with that, I invite you, we're still wandering, but we have the opportunity to wander on into God's promise here, and we're going to look at a great text of Scripture, Joshua chapter 4, the first 7 verses. As you're turning in your Bibles, let me give you a little historical context here in this Scripture reading. So Moses has been leading God's people for 40 years. That's code in Old Testament to say for their lifetime. A generation has come and gone, and now Moses is dead, and it's up to Joshua to cross the river and enter into God's promise to them. So contextually speaking, we have metaphorically or figuratively been speaking of wandering in these past few weeks. Wandering. Not 40 years for sure, but for 4 weeks, wandering along with God's people. And like God's people of old, we are at a threshold of sorts. And the question is, where will we go and how will we get there? And can we trust this God to see us safely through? Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood, carry them over with you, lay them down to the place where you camp tonight.'" Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites whom he had appointed, one from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. And each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. And when your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall tell them, 'The waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever.'" These are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we're always going somewhere, but grant to us peace enough to pause long enough that your Spirit might dwell in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives, that what we receive in worship we may give back sevenfold as we move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, we're wrapping up a month of wandering, but chances are we're going to keep on wandering a little bit. But at least from a sermon topic perspective, I've tried to set a table of sorts to say, hey, friends, in this season, this interim season, it's a time of wandering, and that's okay. It's not just a church thing, though. It's probably true for all of our lives. We go through these seasons of wandering. The teenager wanders as it's trying to understand identity and its place in this world apart from their family of origin, wandering and wandering. The young adult is wandering as they're trying to craft for themselves an identity, a career, a way of making their mark in the world, and they find that through the passing of years, they're just wandering too. I have to admit that I thought that at my ripe old age, as I am bringing to a conclusion what's called midlife, that maybe my wandering would be over, but the older I get, the more I'm realizing I'm just wandering along with everyone else. All of life is a journey of wandering, isn't it? Where we're longing to find our place, longing to find home, maybe even longing to find rest, like I finally achieved it, I've made it. And after all, when you think about it, wandering is what inspires the great work of humankind. It inspires music and art. It inspires the poets. It inspires the scientists and research. It inspires and energizes innovations. It compels us to care for our families because we know that we are but a people on the move, always and always wandering, and it has great generative possibilities. And as I mentioned, Israel has wandered. For a generation, they have wandered and grumbled and complained and looked back. They've questioned their leadership. They've questioned God. They've questioned themselves. They've even grumbled, we should have just go back to Egypt, back to the way things used to be. And now they're on the precipice of coming home, their promise, their future. Thank y'all for that little interlude. Sorry. My wife, when I left off this morning, she said, do you really think it's a good idea to go running this morning with all your sinus stuff? I said, oh, it'll be fine. Y'all keep that secret, okay? All right, so where were we? We're still wandering. I get it. This sermon is a wandering example. So we come to this text in Joshua, and we're all kind of excited, or the Israelites are excited. They're about to go in, about to enter. And what we need to know is that this is not their first time at the River Jordan. Decades earlier, they'd actually just started their wandering. They reached the Jordan. And it wasn't because Moses was lost and looking for directions. But they got to the Jordan, and they sent spies over to check out the land. And they come back, and they say, it's better than we thought. I mean, there's grapes so large, it takes two men with a pole to hold the bunches of them. And the land, it's flowing with milk and honey. That's kind of an idiom, milk and honey. It refers to it's suitable for cattle to graze upon and for bees to pollinate. It's abundant. It's like a farmer's market envious of Roswell, Georgia. It's a wonderful place to be. But they're giants. There's fears. There's so much that looks like odds are stacked against them, and they don't want to go in. They don't want to enter. Their backs are burnished with Egyptian captivity. Their legs are quivering with the fatigue of a hasty exodus. Their fear is lodged in their throats, and they gather along the border of that edge that separates them from promise, and they decide to keep on wandering. So a few decades pass, and they don't go in. We all come to those kind of spaces in life, right? Where we're not really sure we can trust or believe where God could possibly take us. Sometimes that's very personal and individual, and sometimes that's collective. I mean, the world has a way of making us all feel very, very afraid. Why is it that some choose to cross over in spite of the challenges and threats, but others will turn their backs out of fear and insecurity? What is it that makes the difference? Let me tell you a story. My grandfather died when he was 59 years old. I was 12 years old at the time. And it was my first significant loss. It broke my heart. Decades later, I still miss my granddaddy. My granddaddy was lean, and he seemed really old in his 50s. Really old. And he probably was old for his age, so to speak. He occupied a very baggy pair of Liberty overalls On hot days like today, the top button would be open to allow more circulation or vent. His life was a hard one. Born in 1919 in middle Georgia, boll weevils had taken care of cotton crops a decade before there was a such thing as the Great Depression. Today, our kids play video games and they go to soccer practices, but when my grandfather was a kid, he plowed behind obstinate mules and planted corn and picked cotton and milked cows. When he was 14, his mother died giving birth to the fifth child. They're buried off of a family cemetery on what's called the Sparta Highway, just a stone's throw from the Reynolds Plantation, which boggles anyone's imagination. He farmed and he taught my daddy and my brothers and me all about fixed fencing and the delicacies of potted meat. More than once, trouble came to the family farms in Putnam County, and one by one, they would foreclose and lose their land, but my grandfather farmed on. He hung on, making just barely a living, enough to pay bills. And my grandfather was committed to the farm. He was committed to my grandmother. He was committed to each of us. And he never wanted to be a rich man, and he was not. He died poor, buried in a worn-out suit with hands calloused, cracked hard from living. There are times I wonder, why did he go on? Why didn't he just call it quits? What kept him moving forward? When he died, after all, the farm was still very much mortgaged, wasn't paid off until I was an adult, married with children myself. And I believe it was something because he knew deep down that there are things in the world bigger than we are, worth living for, worth dying for. He wasn't a Moses or a Joshua, but he wasn't going to allow the giants to stand in his way of what could be. Now, in our wanderings, we have a choice to let the giants get the better of us and never go any further in our lives or with our church, to not move forward. Israel couldn't see this then, but they had a chance now. Israel, the children of God, once again find themselves at this river crossing. And they're told, now pick up stones and set them up. And when your children ask, and I love this line, when your children ask, what do these stones mean to you? You tell them. Now think about this lovely church. Every Sunday I've been walking the hallways, bumping into Sunday school classes, and mainly just looking at how you're telling your story. I love the 150th down the hallway there, the celebrations of the 150th anniversary. I came to this service for the 150th. Very powerful time, telling your story, right? The thing is, it's not just about a memorial, is it? It's about where we're going. You tell them where you've been to give them the courage and the strength about where we're going. What do these stones mean to you? Every one of us, we have stories to tell about how we have survived, how we have made it, about how God provided, about even in our darkest moments, in our deepest valleys, God has shown up and seen us through in all of our wanderings. Listen to the stones speak. They're not just a memorial. They're reminders of a movement. They're not just about a museum curated in the past, but about a mission that calls on us all to move forward. Have you ever listened to the stones speak? The rocks telling the story. The stones of this church are calling us to see a world shadowed by despair and injustice. And so we offer hope and justice, to notice a world disjointed and confused. And so we're called to bring about order and peace, to see a world at odds with itself and despair, and so lead them to salvation and new beginnings. we walk among the stones of memory. But the Lord says, when your children ask, what do these stones mean to you? You tell them it's not just about a past. It's about a future. It's not that the wandering's over with. It's that the wandering has renewed meaning. Because there'll be other crossings. I love how the poet Maya Angelou phrased it. Here, on the pulse of this new day, you, the members, you, the ministers, you, the staff, the leaders, the children, the youth, and all the rest of us, we stand on the precipice of a rock of new beginnings. How will God find us faithful? Let us pray together. Lord, we are invited to listen to the stones and hear what they have to say. To go tell our story, which is your story that the world needs to hear. Lord, like Jacob who dreamed of the holy and set up a rock and called it Bethel, house of God. Oh God, like Moses receiving the chiseled words of God on tablets of stone and spoke freedom to the enslaved no more. Like the mighty temple, the wonder of the world, oh Lord, yet the teacher said, not one rock would stand because God was building up something bigger and not made by hands. Lord, like the cave, sealing up death only to discover the stone rolled away and God is not finished. Lord, you are not. So in all of this, give us strength and courage to move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said that if these were silent, the stones will shout out. Amen. Let's sing together now our hymn of response as God so leads us. And if God is working in your life to make a decision, pray that you find the courage to cross on over and share your story with this church's story. Let us stand together, let us sing together, and let us respond together.
Inside.
Let me ask you to be seated for just a moment. We've had good practice on that hymn. So, y'all sound marvelous, and I mean that. I mean that deeply. I want to invite Ashley and Michael Hermance to come and stand with me. Did I pronounce your last name correctly, Hermance?
Yeah.
All right. And their son, Ace, is with us. That's a fantastic name, Ace. Did you choose that yourself, or did your parents give it to you? All right. We're glad to have Ashley and Michael here with us as part of this church. They come to bring their membership with us through Northside Drive Baptist Church, place where I served as interim, so you can't escape me because I'm here now. And we're glad that you're here. Those of you that celebrate with me in receiving this family into this church family, indicate by saying amen.
Amen.
You hear the enthusiasm behind these voices. You know, being a part of church is not just simply about having a membership. It's actually saying, we want to be with you, and so we covenant to be with you. And one of the critical things about being a member is just simply showing up. We need one another, and so when you show up, you make us a better congregation, and the congregation is also a better family to you. So we're so glad that you're here. I think we're going to have you stand over there maybe with some of the staff and to get pictures and so forth, but we are very glad and delighted that you are here with us. So please, head on that way. Welcome. Friends, as we prepare to conclude, I guess I have to say that for the first time in 35 years, I walked out on my own sermon. So, you win. I've had plenty walk out on my sermons. I've just never walked out on my own sermon. Thank y'all for indulging me. Life happens to us all, including preachers behind pulpits, but you are a joy to be with, and I look forward to being with you in these weeks and months ahead as we discern together God's good leadership into this congregation. I'm glad that you're here. If this is your first time visiting with us, I hope you have felt welcome. I hope you'll come back. We've got great things offering from one week to the next. We appreciate your presence being here. Let's stand together for our benediction and remain standing for our response. And now may the Lord be with you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. And as we go now in God's peace, may we also go in the full knowledge that God goes with us. Blessings, peace, love, guidance, all the way through. Amen.